When you're walking with a friend or a family member through the final stages of their lives, Deborah Howard says you need to remember something important.
God loves our loved one more than we can ever love him. God loves him more.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Tuesday, July 19th.
Heard me share in the past here on Revive Our Hearts about the time a number of years ago, back in the mid-80s, when my youngest brother was killed in a car accident. And although when you believe in Providence, you know there's no such thing as an accident. It was a car wreck. But at the memorial service for my brother David, who was just so dearly loved, not only by our family, but by many, many others as well. He was a 22-year-old college student. And I remember one of the pastors at the memorial service reminding us that David has not gone from the land of the living to the land of the dead, as we might think, but that he has gone from the land of the dying to the land of the living. And our hearts were encouraged and strengthened as we heard God's perspective on death and dying, on this what many would call an untimely death, as we looked at God's sovereignty, God's providence, and were reminded that with God there is nothing untimely, that all things are in his hands and within his care. And I thought about the loss of my brother, the homegoing of my brother David, as I was reading a book that's come into my hands recently called Sunsets, Reflections for Life's Final Journey. It's by Deborah Howard, who is a hospice nurse and has cared for many people who are in the process of dying, has ministered to their caregivers. And Deborah, thank you so much for being with us on Revive Our Hearts today to minister to us and help us know how to minister to others on this important subject of life's final journey.
Well, thank you, Nancy. It's a joy to be here.
And I want to thank you for writing this book, Deborah, in the forward to the book, Dr. D.A. Carson, who is a noted theologian and writer, he said, "This book is for anyone who is dying, anyone who knows someone who is dying, or anyone who wants to learn how to help and comfort those who are dying." And I read that and I thought, that covers pretty much everybody, certainly at some point of our lives. And this book really does have practical, biblical help for people who are facing death and dying in any way at different stages. And this whole message is not just a theoretical one for you. In fact, you were sharing with me that as the book was going to print, you received the news that your brother had been diagnosed with cancer. How did hearing that news affect you in light of the fact that you had just written this book as a hospice nurse on the subject of facing life's final journey?
I won't say that I was any less surprised than anybody else would have been on hearing this news. My brother was only 48 years old at that point, I believe. And I was very shocked and surprised. But, Nancy, I cannot tell you how grateful I was that I had just finished writing this book, and my mind had already been steeped in the promises of God and in the truths that the scriptures have for us to understand. And I would like to just say to your listeners that understanding the scriptures makes a situation even this emotional one that is doable and manageable. Losing my brother was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And it was extremely hard for me. Being a hospice nurse was not any guarantee from not having to experience that kind of anguish. My brother was my best friend, and he was only 20 months younger than me. So we were only 1 year apart in school. We were best friends through school, and we were spiritual brother and sister as well. I had so many great talks and so many experiences together. When my brother, who had always been very reticent about putting himself out there in the public, found out that he was, in essence, that he was dying, something very unusual and wonderful happened to him. All of a sudden, he could not stop talking about the goodness of God, even in the face of adversity. So there I was, hoping to be a great example to my brother, a great encouragement to him, and a resource for him as he's going through this process. And he, in turn, became a great example to me of how sweet it is to talk to people about the goodness of God in the face of adversity. One of the things that I did was on chemo days, I stayed with him in the chemo lab. And the nurses there allowed me to do that, you know, professional courtesy or whatever. And I stayed with him. My job for those 4 hours once a week was to make the time pass by more quickly for my brother. I have always been a big ham. I've always been the type to, hey, da-da, look at me, you know, when I was growing up. And John was always the one in the back applauding. But this gave me a chance to stand back and watch him shine. And the people, other people who were in the chemo lab on John's days of chemo, many of them came up to him and told him what a tremendous encouragement he was to them and how sweet they thought we were as a couple. I don't know if they knew that we were brother and sister, but they got used to seeing us together. And the joy that filled his eyes when he talked to people about God, it was just a beautiful thing to watch. And it really encouraged me, too. Instead of my comforting him, I found his attitude comforting to me.
Did you find that that continued through the whole process of his dying?
Absolutely. I asked him one time, I said, are you really handling this as well as you seem to be? Because I've seen no trace of fear or anger or turmoil. And he said, what do I have to be upset about? He called me Dee. He said, Dee, I'm going to be with Christ. He said, I'm in a win-win situation. He'll either heal me and I'll be able to stay and watch my daughters grow up, or he'll take me and I'll be in his presence. He said, now, if you were the one dying, I might be a little upset about that, but it's me, and I'm looking forward to being with my Lord. And that was just his attitude, and he never changed. But one of the things that was the very hardest thing for me was something that I talked to my family members all the time, the family members of my patients. And I will tell them towards the end that it's really important for them to get to a place emotionally when they can let their loved one go. In the hospice business, we call this giving permission. And I'm not at all taking away from God's timing in all of this, because I know that that is appointed before we're even born. But I'm just saying that in the process of dying, it's a lot easier, a lot more peaceful, if you have found acceptance with what's happening. And you tell your loved one it's okay for you to go. Now, I've told people this so many times in my career as a hospice nurse, but this is the first time that I had to reach that position, that place where I could let my brother go. And it was, without a doubt, the hardest and one of the most emotional things I've ever done. I, as a hospice nurse, was not exempt from that kind of grief. But my tears were for myself. I want to make that clear, that my brother was going to a better place and I would not have him come back. Mm. He was just a skeleton when he died. And he was 51 years old when he died. And a lot of people mistook us for father and daughter. And he's 20 months younger than me. There he was accepting his own death. And I was just not ready to let him go. And then one visit, I was there, and I saw him racked with pain, and I saw how skeletal he'd become. And it was then that I was able to say, Lord, take him to you and be merciful to him. And my tears were only for me, because I knew how much I would miss him. And even now, I look back and you know, visibly you can see that I'm still upset about it, but I'm not upset about his home going. I just miss him. But I'd want the listeners to understand that I am in no way am saying that I have mastered these techniques. I am somehow on a plane above you guys, and I'm endowing you with this vast knowledge that I've accrued over the years. I'm saying I'm one of you. I am one of you. I have been through this myself. I know the pain. And you know what? A hospice nurse shouldn't be a hospice nurse if they've forgotten that kind of pain at losing somebody that you love. It is never easy. Okay, it is never easy, but it is doable. You can go through it with a godly attitude and come out stronger in the end than you started into the journey.
So for the person who is losing a loved one, and you have sat, you have held their hands, you have watched their tears and probably shed some of your own as in your professional role as a hospice nurse, how do you encourage somebody? How do you help them walk through the process of losing a loved one? They've called you in for hospice care. They are maybe beside themselves. They don't know what to expect. How can you help prepare them for what they're going to face over those next days, weeks, months?
Many times they take their cues from me. If I go in and act like this is the worst thing that has ever happened, they pick up on that. If I go in and I'm something about the patient's death frightens me, they're going to pick up on that. Fortunately, I have a very positive attitude about death and dying, and so I'm very comfortable with it. But what I do from the first time that I go into that patient's home is start the dialogue about that, because many times a family can't talk about those things. So what I do is come in, and in a very non-threatening way, I try to open the conversation and make it a very matter-of-fact, unemotional comment to which they will respond. Okay, the moment they respond, the subject is out. They have spoken the words. And from then on, it does get easier and easier to talk about. I don't play on their heartstrings at first, because they are already in such an emotional state in most cases. So what I do is I stick to talking about what is going on inside the patient physiologically. If there are signs and symptoms, I try to explain those signs and symptoms through what the body is actually doing to cause those symptoms, and so that they understand what is going on. And then little by little, just a very slow, gradual kind of teaching and communication to them that this person is in fact dying, that the progress has started, and then I just try to help them deal with each and every step of it. By now, I know what the future is going to hold for this particular individual. I can pretty well tell what symptoms they will probably experience. So I just try to teach them each and every step of the way what is happening now, why, what to expect in the future, what to do when that happens. And it sort of empowers them. All of a sudden, they know that they cannot control the death and dying of their loved one, but all of a sudden, they understand they can control how this person dies. We have to rearrange our goals from an unrealistic goal, which would be the patient will get better. You know, outside of a miracle from God, that's not going to happen.
Is that a hard goal for a lot of people to relinquish?
Yes. I mean, they've the whole illness, the whole course of the illness, they've held out the hope that this person is going to get better. And all of a sudden, the doctor tells them this person's not going to get better. They have to deal with it, and it's very, very difficult for them to make that transition. But it's helpful when somebody comes in and says, I understand that is an unreasonable goal. Let me give you a goal that is reachable, that is measurable, and that is that we will keep this patient comfortable for the rest of their life, however long that lasts. And I tell people, I can't affect the date that this person dies, but we can work together to make sure that this patient does not suffer or struggle over much during the course of the death.
Do you find that some believers think that that's a lack of faith to just concede that the person is going to die?
Right. They've kind of gotten used to thinking that that would be giving up, and they don't want to give up. That's the phrase that I hear all the time.
When they're praying, and yeah, they're and praying. I hear many of them praying, Lord, would you heal this person? They believe God can. They don't know if he will. And if they say, if they acknowledge that this person is dying, might they feel that that's spiritually weak, giving up faith in the Lord?
No, because sometimes, even with the most fervent prayer, God's answer is no. He does not answer every prayer the way that we would like for him to. But he answers every prayer the way that it fits within his divine providential will for our lives and for the life of our loved one. One thing that was interesting to me is the concept that God loves our loved one more than we can ever love him. Mm-hmm. God loves him more. If that person has a faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior, then we know that Christ went to the cross and died for this person. And that's something that it would not be possible for us to do. Even if we were willing, there is no way that our death could work as that sacrifice in the same way that Jesus did. So, no, I don't. I think it's a difference between giving up and letting go. And in my book, I've talked about that subject, because giving up implies being defeated, being overcome, being conquered. And I think that letting go does not have that same implication. And letting go just says, you know what, this person belongs to Jesus Christ, and I am going to put them in his hands, and whatever happens, I just praise him, and I ask him to help me realign my attitude and make me submissive to his will, whatever that will means. And when you get there, then whatever happens, you know that not only is it God's will for it to happen, but the more you realign your will to his, it's also your will. And I'd like to say something about that. One of the purposes of suffering, I think, is for our benefit.
Yeah.
And that may surprise you, but in the example that I gave you of my brother, it helped me reach that point once I saw how he was suffering. So his suffering served a purpose in my life, because it was when I saw the suffering that I could finally let him go, that I could finally say, Lord, take him and be merciful to him. And so a lot of times I think, you know, people will come to me and say, why is my mom lingering like this? Why doesn't God just go ahead and take her? And I will tell them sometimes, that's not mine to say. That is God's domain. I said, but one of the things that I've found is that sometimes it's for our benefit, because we are finally able to let them go. And then just a little bit later, I'll hear them telling one of their other family members that, mm-hmm. you know, and they're sharing this information, and they're thinking, they're nodding their heads. And a lot of times it helps to realize that sometimes the purpose of their suffering is to help us to let go.
Deborah, dealing with death and dying issues for a career, for a vocation, as you do day in and day out, isn't that depressing? Dealing with this all the time?
You'd think it would be, wouldn't you? But actually, I just want to assure your listeners that hospice nursing is a tremendously rewarding occupation. I became a nurse so that I could make a difference in people's lives. And as a hospice nurse, every day when I go home, I know I've made a real difference in people's lives. And, you know, that's pretty heady stuff when you think about it, that God uses you every day to touch people. I have to make it a matter of prayer all the time that God would use me to help people. And people pray that all the time about themselves. And how often do they get to do it through their vocation, you know, to really touch people and help people through such a difficult time. So, No, I don't think that hospice nursing or hospice is depressing. And I use humor all the time with my patients. I try to be very lighthearted with them. I tease them. The last thing they want is to be treated like a sick person. So I try to treat them like a real person, a well person. And we have a good time. We get to know each other. And if they're believers, we get to know each other in the Lord, which is very, very special. And I think it's a very intimate time in these people's lives, and I feel very privileged to be a part of that.
And I know there's so many who would say how grateful they are for the role that you and other hospice workers have. I got an email this morning from one of our staff whose wife went home to be with the Lord just a few months ago from Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was sharing with me how much hospice nurses and caregivers had meant to his family during the time that his wife was dying, and how they just made it possible for him to have an hour here and there where he could go and get some sleep, he could get a nap, mm-hmm. he could do something that he didn't have time to do, because he was very available to care for his wife. And some of the things these nurses were doing are things he could have done and did do in many cases, but just their relieving him and being there available. And in their case, the hospice nurse was a Christian. Mm-hmm. So there was that shared faith and opportunity to minister. And he was just expressing how grateful he is for the role that the hospice workers had in their lives at that season.
One thing that's a real blessing to me is the gratitude of the people. And I must say that, I have an opportunity a lot to hear them just tell me, thank you for being here for us. Thank you for teaching us. And that is so meaningful. And before I wrote this book, Sunsets, and even during the writing of it, I asked God fervently to be in every word of this book and to put it in the hands of the people he intends to comfort through it. And that has been my prayer from the very beginning. And I am gratified when I hear from readers who have said, this book helped me go through a very difficult period of my life, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without it. And it's very gratifying to see how the Lord really has used this book to bless people.
The book is called Sunsets. I love the title, Sunsets. It's a season of life. It's a time of day in our lives that it's appointed to every man once to die. And you've written a book that has so much wisdom and practical help in preparing not only for the death of those that we love, but also for our own death. And the subtitle of the book is Reflections for Life's Final Journey. You have address so many topics in here from a biblical standpoint, from a practical standpoint, lots of helps dealing with the truth about heaven and hell, about angels, about the purposes of God in suffering, the sovereignty of God, where is God in all of this, why me, dealing with denial issues, and then just practical issues that I know if you've not been there before, you may not have any idea what to expect or how to prepare for dealing with particularly a slow or lingering death that isn't a sudden one. So thank you for applying your heart and your love for the Word to this whole subject. And I know this is going to be a rich ministry in the lives of many of our listeners.
That's Deborah Howard. She's been talking with Nancy Lee DeMoss about the final seasons of life. They've been referring to Deborah's book, Sunsets, Reflections for Life's Final Journey. We'd like to send you a copy. It's our way of saying thanks when you donate any amount to the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. Your support makes the program possible, allowing us to bring this kind of conversation on the radio and on the web. When you call with your gift of any amount, ask for the book Sunsets. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. And when you visit our website, I hope you'll take the opportunity to interact with Deborah Howard over what you've heard today. She'll be part of the Revive Our Hearts listener blog. If you scroll to the end of today's transcript, you can enter a comment or question, read what other listeners have written, and read Deborah's comments. Again, you can join the discussion at reviveourhearts.com. Well, when you talk with someone facing death, Do you ever feel at a loss for words? Tomorrow, Deborah Howard will help you know what to do in those situations. I hope you can be back with us next time for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.